to a Tuesday edition of the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Roberts, and in today's show, I'll be going over Monday's box scores and the news of the day with Daniel Green. Daniel, welcome to the show.
What's going on, man? Thanks for having me back. Always good to be here.
Yeah, always good to talk some basketball, right?
Absolutely.
Before we jump into the basketball from Monday night, I want to hear our weekly DFS update from the legal side of things in New York. What's happening?
Well, so basically it's status quo for the time being. So we had last Wednesday, there was a hearing on the preliminary injunction in New York City. And the hearing, you know, it's tough to, you kind of hear some different things from regarding who, depending on who you talk to regarding how it went. But I think the hearing went pretty well if you are in favor of DFS and in favor of DraftKings and FanDuel. So the judge did not issue a ruling, though, at the hearing. And now we're just waiting, man. We're going to probably hear this week if the judge is going to rule in favor of FanDuel and DraftKings. And then all of us New Yorkers will be able to play for like the next probably 6 to 8 months until there's an actual trial. And then if the judge issues a ruling in favor of the attorney general, us New Yorkers are crap out of luck. And then DFS is probably going to be, DFS will be banned for New Yorkers for the foreseeable future until the trial is done as well. So either way, there's going to be a trial.
Are you doing like animal sacrifices and things to try to make sure things go in your favor?
Nah, man, I'm really not. It's like, I just kind of want the judge to issue a ruling on this and like, let's move on. You know, I got some, I really do think the judge is going to rule in favor of FanDuel and DraftKings. So I will be a little surprised if she doesn't, but you know, I'm trying not to think about it too much, quite honestly, because I'm just, you know, attacking each DFS slate and glad that I can at least still plan DraftKings right now. And we'll see, you know, and obviously if the judge rules against me and my fellow New Yorkers, then I'll have to come up with a plan B, and it's going to be crazy.
I love that it's you versus the judge.
I know, right? I mean, it will be crazy though, because I mean, we're talking about, you know, it would open up like in theory like a good 8 hours of my day, like I would get back. I mean, which would be pretty amazing, right? I could have like a social life again if there was no DFS. So. Yeah, no, but I'll have to find a way to keep on playing and keep my website going and keep doing the advice. And I'll, you know, it will be interesting to see what I come up with if the judge rules against FanDuel and DraftKings. But again, everyone's fingers are crossed and we'll see. But I mean, hopefully the ruling will come quick this week. I mean, I think it's going to come Wednesday, but we'll see.
Did you watch Seinfeld?
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you remember the episode where George, he finds out he can't have sex for like 4 to 6 weeks or something, and then he fully engages the rest of his brain?
Yeah.
And he does all sorts of productive things with his time.
That totally could happen.
That could be you in a few weeks.
And in many ways, and I know this is like a PG-rated podcast, but in many ways, DFS could be related to sex. I see it's a very good analogy. But I think we should probably stop it there.
Yeah, we can carry that one on Twitter.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about some of the news that came out on Monday and then jump into some of the box scores that we saw.
Yeah.
And then we'll talk a little DFS at the end. All right. First of all, got a bit of bad news on our friend Al Jefferson. He's going to miss at least 2 weeks with that strained calf injury. He left the game. That's the news. 2 weeks minimum.
And that's horrendous news, because when you're talking someone like Al Jefferson, who was out for 2 weeks and can't exercise or can't move, he's going to be eating so much food and like he's going to put on about 50, 60 pounds. So when he comes back, it's going to take him another like 2 or 3 weeks to even get in shape, man. So that's
Do you think the other Eastern Conference teams that are battling with him, like battling for position, is going to be sending him Popeye's chicken?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, dear God.
I would totally do that if I was like the Celtics or something.
Oh, I mean, please, are you kidding me? The Celtics with Jared Sullinger, they got their hands full, man. I mean, it's like, honestly, if the two biggest guys got in the Eastern Conference have to be Sullinger and Big Al, right? It's like not even close.
That's a good point. So here, I got an over under for you. Would you guess Al Jefferson is playing more or less than 29 minutes a game this season?
Less. He's got it's less.
I couldn't fool you. Yeah, he's playing 26 minutes a game.
Yeah.
That's not great.
Well, yeah, I mean that's why he's you can't play him in DFS because he does not. I mean, he will never play above 30 minutes. I mean, like Clifford has basically come out in the press and even said he's not going to get over 30 minutes. I mean, they're really trying to monitor and make sure he can last the whole season.
So I think that begs the question: if he's out 2 to 3 weeks, maybe more, and he's not going to play over 30 minutes, and he's playing about 25 minutes a game, is he worth holding on to? Like, do you try to weather the storm with him for the next 3 weeks, or do you just drop him?
I mean, I guess it's depending on what your team needs, right? But I mean, like, look, I mean, the problem is who are you going to pick up? Like, in terms of like the Charlotte guys, you can't rely on someone like Cody Zellers or someone like that. But I mean, well, I guess
first of all, if Clint Capela is not owned in your league, you go pick him up,
right? But again, you saw it today, right? Like Houston benched him the whole second half. So like, I'm not sure how long is that going to last. How long is Houston really going to start Clint at the four? How long are they going to go Clinton and Howard? You saw it tonight. Who are they playing tonight?
They played at Detroit.
That's right. Yeah. Detroit went with a stretch four, and you saw what happened. I mean, they couldn't keep Clint on the floor. So and Detroit had like a 25 lead at the half. So I don't know. I mean, like, while Clint seems like a good pickup, especially because Dwight's minutes are still limited on a second of a back-to-back. I mean, ultimately, like, do you really think like Clint's going to be starting the whole year? I don't. I see Terrence Jones back in that starting in the, as a power forward for Houston. Like, it's got to be in the next month or so. That's just my opinion.
First of all, I love that you call him just Clint. Like, yeah, you guys went to college together.
Yeah, man. And like another thing, that's got to be like one of the coolest names. Like, if I had a son, I think Clint would be high up there on my list.
No, go ahead and name your son Clint.
Thank you. I will. It will not be after Clint Capela because
I think you should. Because no, here's the
I
thing.
Will not. Because I'm telling you, Clint, I just don't see him starting for much longer. Like that experiment. I mean, like you're talking like two twin towers who are at this point, Dwight's a shell of himself too, right? So it's like two subpar twin towers.
Well, now you're making my case for me.
What's your case?
Well, if Dwight is a shell of himself, why wouldn't they eventually just go with Clint Capela?
You mean over Dwight?
Over Dwight.
Well, I mean, I still think Dwight has like a year, you know, a few years left of player.
Basically, my point is there's a lot of unknowns in Houston right now, and Clint Capela is one of their only players that's doing well. And fantasy-wise, he could be an elite player. Like, I think he could be this year's Rudy Gobert or Hassan Whiteside. I don't know, and I gave this exact same advice last year with Rudy Gobert. I don't know how the minutes come. Like, you know, last year Rudy Gobert was blocked by Enes Kanter and Derek Favors. And I was like, I don't know how the minutes come, but this guy is so good. He's worth taking a risk on. Like, he's worth rostering. I don't know if that means Capela plays. I think there's a chance that he starts at four. I think there's a chance that he's the first big man off the bench and he just plays enough minutes that it doesn't, you know, he's still fantasy relevant. I think there's a chance that Dwight gets hurt, or Terrence Jones gets hurt, or Monte Yunus gets hurt, or one or all of them gets traded. Like, I just think that somehow he's playing well enough that, and Bickerstaff likes him enough that he's going to get on the court and he's going to play enough minutes to be fantasy relevant. Now, that doesn't mean like night to night in the next, I don't know, 4 weeks, there aren't nights where he plays 20 minutes or 18 minutes and it's disappointing. But I think there's a very good chance by the end of the season that he's in the 30-minute range, 28 to 30 minutes.
I mean, it's certainly intriguing. I mean, it's just, again, I mean, I watched how quick tonight he got pulled and didn't, I don't think he might not even played a minute in that second half, or if he did, he didn't play many. So, I mean, he's definitely got talent. I like his skill set, you know, but it is kind of like you said, and I don't think he's as talented as Gobert, especially defensively. He's actually offensively maybe a little bit more talented, but you know, it's just,
is he as talented as Whiteside?
No. I mean, you're talking about like, I mean, so you're putting him already as like a dominant force at, you know, and a complete shutdown, you know, defensive stopper. And I don't see him as,
well,
as,
first of all, I wouldn't put Hassan Whiteside in that category.
I don't know, man. Dude, I mean, he's averaging what, like 4 or 5 blocks a game, Whiteside?
Yeah, but I think what I'm saying is I think there's a big difference between Gobert's blocks and Whiteside's blocks and the defense they play. But I think Capela can put up those similar type numbers. He has done it on a per possession basis. I mean, basically, if you look at his per 100 possession stats and Gobert's, they're essentially the same, except for Capella scores more.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's talented. I just don't think he's as good as those guys. I mean, and again, so like for this year, and getting back to our original question, would you go Big Al versus Clint? I mean, I guess I would lean Clint, but like I wouldn't be as confident as you seem to be on it. Again, especially because like I still like Terrence Jones for Houston. Like I'm not sure what he did to get completely like in the doghouse of Bickerstaff, you know, and McHale, because he was solid for them. Even this year, he was injured, and then he came back and had a good game or two. So, I see him getting minutes at some point, and he's a much, especially in today's NBA, he's a much better fit for as a four man.
I agree with that, and well, I don't think it's a lock that Capella gets the minutes. I just think he's worth the risk. Let me try one more time to convince you here.
All right, do it.
So last year, I won't worry about this season because. Basically, the stats are the same, but it's small sample size. Last year, Rudy Gobert averaged 16 per possession, per 100 possessions. Rudy Gobert was 17 points, 19 rebounds, 4.7 blocks. Last year, Clint Capella was 17 points, 20 rebounds, 5 blocks. And this year, the numbers are similar, 22 points, 18 rebounds, 4 blocks, and a lot more steals. So, like, I think the potential is definitely there. And if there's any chance this dude's going to get minutes, like, he's going to have the same impact in your league that Rudy Gobert did last year. And we can argue if it's 90% of Rudy Gobert, like, you can talk me into that. I know Rudy Gobert is probably, like, a ceiling for this guy. But what I'm saying is the potential is there. And these guys don't come along on the waiver wire very often.
Yeah, no, and going on top of that, I mean, you're talking about Big Al, and, you know, there's like no upside, right? I mean, like, you're talking about a guy who's going to get, you know, a maximum of, at this point, about 18 points and like 7 rebounds. So
I'd be thrilled with that. And if he's going to do that, you don't want to drop him.
But that's the upside, though. That's the ultimate, you know, without getting injured and you know, so yeah, I mean, I guess I would take a flyer on Clint, but
I love that you're sticking with Clint.
Yeah, well, as opposed to what, though? What else should I call him? Dempsey?
I don't know.
Mr. Capella? I mean, I think the reason why I do Clint instead of Capella is because I like one of my favorite movies is Pitch Perfect, and that's Acapella. So, I want to make sure that I don't like the nickname. Pitch Perfect, yeah. I'm telling you, that's a fantastic movie. But, and certainly Clint has upside, and if he's on your waiver wire, I get at this point, he's worth a look. I'm just telling you, don't be shocked if soon enough he's playing like 12 to 14 minutes a day. Because Houston still, I mean.
Hold on. I would be shocked if he goes that low. He's averaged 18 minutes up to the point when he started. So I think that's kind of his floor.
Okay.
And I think he only needs like 24 minutes per game to be
relevant in a standard league, in a 12-team league.
Yeah. So okay. I just don't think he's that far off. Like, I think they could start Jones and Howard, and between the games those guys are going to miss, he could get those 22 to 24 minutes. And, like, you're going to be on the brink of, like, I kind of want to drop this guy, but I know he has upside. And then one of them gets traded or injured or something, and I think minutes open up for him.
All right, man, fine. You sold me. All right, everyone go pick up Capella. If he's on your waiver wire, damn it, I'm going to do it in my leagues after right now, actually, or during after the show.
You just want to move on in the – I've beaten you down, and I'm sorry.
I do like the discussion, and I mean, even it's interesting because even tonight, like, I had Capella. I had Clint. I will go with Clint. I'm gonna stick with Clint. I had him on a lot of my DFS teams, and
so this is why you're bitter, is because he had a big first half, and you got really excited, and then he sat for the second half.
A little, but I mean, like, the thing is, he basically hit value in playing one half. So, yeah. I mean, I see your point. I mean, the guy, even if he doesn't play a lot of minutes, he's going to produce for you and probably be relevant in standard leagues.
Now, did you watch this game? Because I have to admit, I didn't get to watch a lot of this game.
It
looked to me like Dwight Howard and Capella both played a lot of their minutes in the first half. So I'm wondering if they went with like a super small lineup.
Yeah, I mean, they did. I mean, Detroit was – I actually turned it off after the half. I mean, Detroit just put the hurting on them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, I mean, like, obviously, you know, they were – and the thing also is, remember, Houston's coming off an overtime game yesterday, so they were just gassed. You know, looked right. like, especially the big guys, didn't have much in the tank. But like Clint actually was doing well. So, but like, I mean, like in the first, you could see in the first 6 minutes, like Ersan Ilyasova had about five or six wide open looks. Cause I mean, you know, Detroit had a stretch four. And yep. I mean, like Houston just was ill-equipped to deal with that.
Well, and see, that's my other part of my argument here is Houston has so many guys that are playing poorly, right? Like Ariza is not living up to expectation. Brewer's not living up to expectation. Dwight's not living up to expectation. Like Clint Capella is actually playing well. I just don't think they can afford to sit one of their good players that is playing well, regardless of, you know, roster composition.
Again, like that's taking a completely rational approach when, like, I think all of these coaches are completely like irrational, illogical, and delusional, you know, yeah. And they just don't do what seems so obvious to all of us, you know? I mean, because if you watch Harden, in my opinion, just kills that team. Like him just, you know, if you watch a lot of the plays from yesterday and watch his shot selection, I mean, like I think they ended up – the Knicks yesterday in overtime, was it? Mm-hmm. But, I mean, like, Harden, I mean, I think what he took, at least 30 shots, and, I mean, like, add on, or what, 15, 20 free throws, whatever he took. And, like, he just dribbles. It's all iso ball. And, I mean, it's just not the way that if you want to win in the current NBA, the way that you should be playing. I mean, like, so while he's great if he's on your fantasy team, I just think that it's just, like, he's just not going to lead a team to a title. It's just not going to happen, in my opinion.
You heard it here first, folks. You want to talk quickly about the Detroit side of this game? I don't know if there's anything more to talk about other than
it's funny because I did a video on my show today, and the one player I said don't play in DFS. Guess who I said don't play?
Let's see, Reggie Jackson.
Yep, I basically said I said you know who Reggie Jackson is, and it's because the thing is his usage rate is phenomenal. I mean, let me see if I can pull it up. It's seventh in the league, Mark. It's 31.6%, which I cannot believe.
Like, does that surprise you?
Yeah, that's shocking to me because, I mean, like, he stinks in DFS. He's a killer. He's been a killer this whole year. He, like, can't hit value. And his price he's not that expensive. I mean, he's usually around, like, 7K. He's, you know, maybe season he was up to, like, 7.6, 7.8K. Now he's down to about $7,000, at least on DraftKings. And he's not even coming close to hitting value. And and it just shocks me. And like, his, I don't know what he's. I'm trying to find. I don't see his field goal percentage here, but he's just not. He wasn't making shots.
About 42%.
Yeah, which is I guess typical for him, right? Or maybe a little worse, but he just wasn't able to make any shots. So like, I got so frustrated with him the last few games playing him on my show today. I was like, you know what Reggie Jackson reminds me of? It's like a really attractive girl who wears a hat, like you know, like those fedora hats. Not like a. Like in my and again in my opinion, maybe if we have some lady listeners, I mean, you can tweet me and tell me I'm wrong or I'm crazy. But in my experience, Mark, if a woman is wearing a hat, a very attractive woman, if she's wearing one of those fancy fedora hats, she's super high maintenance. So I said, if you see her in a bar, you run the heck out of that bar and you fade the hot girl in the hat. So that was my analogy to Reggie Jackson. And then sure enough, what does he do tonight? He went berserk. I mean, I think, you know, what do you have? 31 points.
Yeah, 31 points, 8 assists, 5 rebounds, 2 steals. He shot in about 37 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, dominating. So, I mean, look, I mean, my that's what jumped off the screen to me. I mean, Drummond, you know, got over 2 fantasy points a minute, which he had another, you know, phenomenal game. So
Drummond only had 13 rebounds.
I know, right?
Like a season low for him.
I mean, I think he missed like 14 free throws today, too. which I think is the most in the NBA this year. That I think the previous.
That's not a great way to start off your week.
Hey, they got the win though, right?
And, no. Like your fantasy week. Oh, like, no, lose free throws if you have Drummond, but that pretty much seals it right there.
But I mean, I'm assuming if you have Drummond, right? You're basically
yeah. You're expecting to lose it, but
yeah,
you don't expect to be guaranteed on Monday night.
I mean, at least that relieves the stress of the week, right? You're not having to stress anything out. I mean, you know, like free throws, you're just like done. But yeah, so I mean, those two guys obviously. And
does Stanley Johnson's line interest you at all? He played 30 minutes. He had 19 points.
Yeah,
hit 4 3-pointers. Had 10 rebounds.
Yeah, the thing that
had 2 blocks.
The thing that the line interests me. But again, the main thing with him, we know he's got the potential, right? So the minutes, like that's what I wanted to see, and he played down the stretch. And so that was really good to see. So like Stan is still searching what like for his finishing line, and he's still searching, you know, exactly for his rotation. He's just not going to give Ilyasova enough minutes, I don't think, to be fantasy relevant right now. You know, yeah. So you know, like, who's going to be that other guy besides, you know, Reggie, KCP, Marcus, and Drummond? All getting, you know, he's a very fantasy friendly team because Stan is one of the few coaches in the league who's got that nice rotation for those four guys. But for that last spot, you know, what's he going to do? So, you know, Stanley Johnson, you know, definitely has the potential to get some minutes there.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to pick him up. I might keep an eye on him.
Yeah.
This is the first time that we've really seen him. Like last game, he played 26 minutes. And prior to that, we hadn't really seen him play over 26 minutes for about, you know, eight or 10 games. So I think you keep him on your watch list. I don't think anybody's going to be banging down the door to pick him up, but there is the chance that he develops into exactly what you're saying, somebody who's going to get consistent playing time.
Yeah, and it's weird. You know how we have, and I'm with you. You know, you put him on your watch list, and you probably don't pick him up yet. But there's not that many players like who you have on your watch list who could really really swing a league for you. And if he does get minutes, he's one of those guys because he really can do a lot of different things on the court.
Yeah, and I'm not quite sold that he's that player yet. I just to play devil's advocate, I guess. I think there's a chance he's more like Justice Winslow if he gets minutes, where he does good things on the court, but they don't necessarily show up in the box scores.
Yeah.
So I'm a little wait and see there too. Like, this is definitely encouraging. Hopefully he keeps it up and kind of proves that wrong. But just translating his stats from college, they never looked super prolific. And so I guess I kind of still have that in the back of my mind. He and Winslow projected out to be essentially the same. And Winslow's proven that to be true in the minutes he's gotten. So anyway, I think if you're looking for a guy, not to keep pounding the point, but I want to make sure everybody picks up Clint Capella if they can. If you're looking for a guy who can swing the league if he gets minutes, it's Capella.
Man,
all right. Boston-Miami. Boston wanted to beat Miami 105 to 95. What do you see in this game?
Yeah, sadly, I'm a big Miami Heat fan, big D Wade fan. So I watched this entire silly game.
Not too sadly, if you're a big D Wade fan, man. Yeah, well, he had a great game.
Yeah, but again, this was a bad loss for Miami, and I loathe the Celtics. I just can't stand them. I hate, like, I just like I don't like Celtics fans. You know, I'm sorry if you guys are Celtics. Like, it's just like, you know, it's just like, and I think it's carrying over from yesterday watching, like, because I mean, a lot, you know, obviously Celtics fans are Patriots fans, right? So with like the Gronk and the loss, and by the way, I think the Patriots did get job by the refs yesterday. But so yeah, I mean, like, and I have like a lot of people on Twitter who follow me who are Celtics fans, so they're, you know, rubbing it in and giving me a hard time tonight. Like, yeah, I mean, so Wade looked great. And this is the key, like, if you're going to play Wade, like, in DFS, and you know, I'm not sure how much this is going to help your season long. But, look, if the Heat are coming off, like, one day of rest, especially two, like, Wade's going to look great, you know? Like, that's when his legs right. are going to be there. It's on the back-to-back, so that's when Wade is going to struggle. So you saw, like, Wade had, you know, had lift tonight. He had some explosiveness. Yeah. He, you know, took 24 shots. His usage rate is still 30%. I think he's still, like, I think he's 8 or 9, you know, in the league. So, again – and that's even when his legs are bad. You know, he's going to get up shots. So, like, Wade is still – he's still relevant to me, man. As long as he's playing, I like Wade. Whiteside concerns me because Spoelstra keeps benching Whiteside in the fourth quarters of games. We saw only 26 minutes tonight, only 8 rebounds, still had the 3 blocks. So, I mean, obviously, like, you know, I don't know if this is – obviously, I never want to drop Whiteside. But, I mean, like, would you consider a sell – like, was this like a – you know, would you consider trading him in any way? I mean, I am a little concerned – over what Spoelstra just doesn't have confidence in Whiteside. And especially if you read like the Miami papers and stuff, it's just not, I mean, like, you saw all the start. I mean, Gerald Green gets 36 minutes, you know, Winslow 29.
I don't think Whiteside's matchup proof. Like, I think he's going to come out in certain games, but prior to this, he played 31 minutes, 30 minutes, 33, 34 minutes, 29 minutes in the previous four games. He hit double digit rebounds in all but one of those. He's blocked. The blocks in those games are 6, 3, 5, and 8. So, yeah, I don't think you're doing anything crazy or irrational with Whiteside. I think he's still, like, Yeah, he's only appropriate for certain team builds in fantasy. Like, it's tough to own him in a rotisserie league, but in a head-to-head league, he's great.
Yeah.
And, I don't see that changing. You're just going to have some down nights with him.
Yeah. Yeah.
He experiences foul trouble. It doesn't look like that was what was going on tonight. Like,
no, tonight it was just, you know, like
matchups, I would guess.
Yeah. When you're talking Celtics, I mean, you know, they don't have, you know, I mean, they basically play Sullinger at the five. So it's for a lot of the game, or they go Amir Johnson, who's not, you know, not a giant in terms of NBA standards. So yeah, I mean, Whiteside just got pulled and they went with a smaller unit, but I mean, you know, I actually wish Whiteside would have been out there, but yeah, I mean, the main thing for Miami though, you know, is Goran Dragic and what to do with it, with this bumbling.
Now there's a guy that you can talk about dropping. Yeah, I think
bumbling, stumbling, you know, just lethargic, you know, inept point guard. It's like he played 34 minutes tonight, and he was a waste of space again. You know, I mean, like, and especially like late in the fourth quarter, you know, the last 6 minutes. I mean, Wade and Bosch take every shot. Dragic just basically stands in a corner and does nothing. And then like even like in the first quarter and third quarters, like when he gets minutes, it's just, he's just not a good fit with that first unit, quite honestly. So I don't know. Like, are you telling people to drop him? Cause I mean,
I'm telling people I'm okay if they drop him.
Yeah. I have him in one league and today, like I almost want to hit that submit button. Cause like, as I was watching the game and then I held off just cause I still like, I just can't believe that this guy can fall this far this fast.
Yeah, I actually picked him up in a league that he got dropped in.
Yeah, so like I'm holding, but like, man, it's getting hard. Like, as each game passes and watching him do nothing, and I think it's a combination of just being a bad fit and, again, just that offseason. Again, he didn't play at all in the offseason, had a bunch of different issues, so he's not in shape. So I'm hoping that that at some point the corner is going to turn. But right now it's just really frustrating being a Dragic owner. You know, playing him in DFS, which, I mean, dear God, I played him in one tournament site, and he was 1% owned, and he's down to $5,000, Mark. I mean, which
murdered your team still. You know who's gonna be sad about this is in 20 years or 10 years or whenever, when Pat Riley's in a nursing home and they're still giving up first-round picks to the Suns for Goran Dragic.
Oh, God.
I think there's going to be some Miami Heat fans that are disappointed.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think I tweeted out earlier. I mean, Dragic got an $80 million deal. I mean, he's making – $80 million to be, and I'm not lying, I think he could be the worst starting point guard right now in the league. It's just,
I think PJ McConnell has some words to say to you.
Dude, he's not even starting. Isaiah Cannon's starting right now.
I think Isaiah Cannon has some words for you then.
Isaiah Cannon is crushing, man, right now, especially in best terms. Like, he's been great. So, and at least, and I mean, that's comparing at least like Dragic, well, he's supposed to be a borderline, you know, all-star caliber player. I mean, you're paying the guy $20 million a year. So that's, you know, again, that's just frustrating for Boston. Look, I mean, this was for Brad Stevens, this was about as fantasy friendly a lineup, or a box score you're going to see. I mean, all the starters get well over 30 minutes. Sullinger, you know, the big gravy juice, you know, got 34 minutes, you know, only 6 rebounds, which was surprising, but, you know, played really well down the stretch. Avery Bradley, you know, went berserk, 9 of 15 from the floor. 39 minutes. He was a plus 18 and 25 points. Isaiah Thomas, you know, he does his thing. You know, Jay Crowder, again, filled up his stats. So
kind of interesting note there. We've been talking about Jay Crowder's home and road splits for steals. He's averaging roughly twice as many steals at home. This was an away game, and he got 4 steals. Good to know. Avery Bradley, like you said, continues to go berserk without Marcus Smart there. Yeah. Even if you pick him up as just a flyer, I think until Smart comes back, I think he's a pretty safe pickup. He got 25 points tonight and two rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, and 3 three-pointers.
What's your advice on Evan Turner? I mean, Evan Turner, he looked great tonight. I mean, he was really the only guy that Stevens played off the bench. I mean, Stevens didn't go berserk and played 8, 9, 10 guys, you know, 20-plus minutes. Really, he played the starters, then he gave Evan Turner 32 minutes, and he played solid.
Yeah, and I guess you just have to realize last game he played 20 minutes and had 2 points. Like, I think he's an okay guy to add if you need rebounds and if you need assists from the guard spot. As long as Smart is out, he has some chance to be the primary ball handler. He's going to get those stats. I don't like the long-term value here because I think once Smart is back and Isaiah Thomas is there, I think he doesn't get as much primary ball handling as he needs to be relevant. I think he's okay to, like, if you needed to stream at the end of the week for assists, probably a fine play. Or, you know, in DFS, like, if you wanted to put him in a tournament, I think that's okay. But I do think there'll be ups and downs. Like, he had 6 total points in the last 2 games. Yeah. So he's definitely not a safe play, I wouldn't say.
Yeah.
All right, moving on to the Denver and Milwaukee game. Let's see.
Let me just give – oh, I guess by the time everyone's listening to this, it will be well decided. But right now, Golden State's up by one on Utah with 7 minutes to go.
There you go, the mid-podcast update.
So I know our viewers will be fascinated by that. Because I was going to shout out a League Pass alert. Typically, I'll tweet that out to my followers. You know, tell everyone if they have League Pass, turn on the game. Actually, I think this game's on NBA TV. I'm not sure, but, you know.
Yeah, I think it
so
is.
So, Mark, I want to tell you, League Pass alert.
We might have to pause it and go watch the end if they're going to lose. I got it recording, though. All right. So on Milwaukee side, we've been watching their rotation closely because Jason Kidd's been switching up a little bit. In this game, nobody played. Milwaukee won this game fairly handily. Nobody played over 30 minutes.
No, OJ Mayo. No. Like a Bayless, Mayo, and Middleton got over 30 minutes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see Bayless was a little farther down. Yeah, they were right at. I have him at 30 and a half minutes.
Okay, I have him at 31.
Yeah. Okay. Same. Yeah. So, yeah, so the only guy that played over 31 minutes would be Bayless. Middleton and OJ Mayo continue to also get big minutes. Michael Carter Williams surprisingly got also 30 minutes.
Of course.
So it's hard to understand how Middleton, Mayo, Carter Williams, and Bayless led the team in minutes, but that did happen. Jabari Parker seems to have responded pretty well to the benching that he's been given. He had 16 points, 4 rebounds, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. Giannis actually didn't play a ton tonight. He only played 20 minutes. He had 9 points, 6 rebounds. Greg Monroe only played 25 minutes. John Henson played 23 minutes. I'm not sure what to make of this. I think we're just in wait-and-see mode. Before today, I would have said it's okay to drop Michael Carter-Williams after this game. He had a pretty nice game. I think you're probably holding on to him. If you held on to him to this point, he had 12 points, 6 rebounds, 9 assists, 3 steals, and 3 blocks. That's a heck of a line. I don't know. Do you have anything more intelligent to say about Milwaukee? I have no idea what's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as you were reading over those lines, I was just stabbing myself with a fork. Because, I mean, like, Jason Kidd, I mean, like, dear God, what do we do with this guy? It's just, you know, and even, like, when he started Mayo and Bayless today, Jared Bayless, who I call a mini J.R. Smith, dude, you play 33 minutes and take 6 shots?
Yeah, that's, like, kind of surprising.
You know, not to mention, like, I'm speaking, you know, also from DFS terms, and I played him a lot, so, like, I'm like, doubly upset. Because like Mayo and Middleton, maybe Mayo and Bayless, neither of them hit value in DFS, and they got over 30 minutes, and they were dirt cheap, so that was pretty shocking. But yeah, I mean, look, I mean, I'm with you on MCW. Like, I would hold on. Like, I really would. He got 30 minutes tonight. Like, I just can't see Kidd playing Bayless and Mayo, you know, for the foreseeable future, like, big minutes.
Yeah. So I don't know where this is going, but I think we'll know in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing is, I would say, like, the only people who are safe, though, even though the box score tonight didn't really even show it, I think if you're, you know, obviously Giannis, Middleton, or Monroe, you're safe. I mean, if you're a Bucks guy, you're going to get over 30 minutes a night. But in terms of the backcourt, you know, what to do, dear God, I think every night, like, Jason Kidd and Scott Skiles have, like, a conference call, and they just, like, giggle with each other. You know, they have, like, evil laughter, like, going back and forth. Like, that's how I envision, like, what they're doing with their rotation sometimes.
Yeah, and I generally agree with you, but, you know, Giannis didn't even play 20 minutes, or barely played 20 minutes tonight, so.
True.
I just don't know what he's doing.
Wait, so are you getting worried about Giannis?
I'm worried about everybody on the Bucks roster. I don't think I'm dropping him, but I'm worried.
Yeah,
and I'm not worried about his talent. I'm not worried about his production. I'm just worried about his playing time. And I think Jason Kidd's ticked off right now that they have a bad record, and I think he's just going to sit anyone on the bench that he's not happy with.
I mean, and I do agree with that. But when we look, I mean, look at the bench, look at the roster, right? I mean, the only legitimate guys they have that, you know, are Parker, who got 26 minutes tonight. I mean, John Henson is a viable guy, got 23 minutes, and then MCW. So, I mean, you're really only talking, they have eight viable players. So even if Kidd, you know, messes around as much as he does, he's not going to go way over the edge crazy and start giving Miles Plumlee and Chris Copeland and Tyler Ennis a lot of minutes. So, you know, and Johnny O'Brien. So, well, I think, you know, the backcourt may be jumbled up. I think if you're Giannis, Middleton, and Monroe, I gotta believe, man, you're going to be okay.
I think you're right. But I think it could be a not fun couple of weeks while they sort those things out. On the Denver side, I guess the good news is Kenneth Faried is back. He missed three games. He only played 22 minutes. He was fairly productive, though. He had 11 points, 7 rebounds, and an assist. I don't know. I don't see a whole lot else that I even want to talk about there. They're sort of they only scored 74 points. They got blown out.
Yeah,
I kind of don't want to read too much into this box score.
Yeah. Well, and again, Denver's another team that it's very tough to figure out what's going on with that rotation too, especially the front court. I actually like Jokic. I don't know if you've watched him play. I love that big guy's talent, man.
Yeah, me too.
He's silky smooth. Like, I mean, I was shocked when I started watching him play. So, I mean, I just don't see him getting the full repertoire of minutes this year. 25 today. You know, I liked Lavernia too. He's coming back from injury, 19 minutes there. So I think that center position is going to be tough all year. You know, Gallo. Well,
and Nurkic is coming back eventually, and he's the best of the group.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it's just going to be a mess, I think, you know, at the center spot. And, you know, Faried can't stay healthy right now. The only guy who seems reliable for minutes is Gallo. And, you know, I'm not that high on Gallo. And then, you know, and the shooting guard, you know, Gary Harris is out with a concussion. He actually looked pretty good. You know, and I don't mind Barton either coming off the bench, got 30 minutes.
I actually think once Gary Harris comes back, I think he's a very good pickup. He was really rounding into form once right before he went out.
He was playing well, and he was pissing off a lot of people who played DFS because like a few nights last week, everyone had Will Barton, and then that's when Gary Harris started playing really well. But I'm with you. I like Gary Harris.
Yeah. The previous five games before his injury, he played at least 27 minutes in each of those. He scored in double digits in all of them. He scored as many as 20 points. He's going to get steals. He had a couple of two steals and one steal games in there. So if you're talking about a guy who's going to score, 15 points and get a couple of, you know, 1.5 to 2 steals a game, hit some three-pointers, I think he hit at least one three-pointer in all five of those games. I think you wait until he gets cleared, but then you go ahead and pick him up.
Yeah,
I think there's a high ceiling there too for him.
Yeah, the only concern there is if Will Barton comes in and gets the hot hand, he stays in.
Will Barton's not good at basketball though.
I mean, I have mixed emotions on Will, man. Like,
and he can fill up the box scores, but he's just not good at basketball.
Yeah, I mean. He got 6 rebounds tonight. I mean, like, I think
he can put stuff. He's like the opposite of Stanley Johnson. Like, Stanley Johnson is a good basketball player, and I'm not sure he can fill up the box score. Will Barton is not good at basketball, but he can fill up the box score. But the reason it's relevant for fantasy, if he could stay on the court and fill up the box score, we wouldn't care. But I think his skill level is bad enough that it's going to keep him off the court. Like you're right. There will be games where he gets a hot hand and he plays, but I think by and large, Gary Harris is enough more talented than Will Barton is. I don't know if that's grammatically correct, but he's enough more talented than Will Barton is that he's going to just play over him. I don't think it's a question.
And I mean, like, I think it's a little bit, I agree with you, but I think it's a little bit closer. I mean, and I've heard Malone in the papers, you know, why do I say in the papers? Like, there's papers.
How many papers do you get sent to your house?
Yeah, I know. It's like, where are all these papers? No, I guess what's like the new term though? What do we say?
No, that's fine. You can, I like it. I want to envision you getting like 15 regional newspapers sent to your house.
Oh, imagine if fantasy back in the day, like, you know, that's what people did. You know, it's like they put all the box scores, all the different papers, you know, like, man, we're so spoiled nowadays. But yeah, so I mean, you know, like in reading, you know, the online materials from Coach Malone, I mean, he does seem to, you know, seem to constantly say, you know, he's going to give, you know, Barton a lot of minutes, you know, on some nights. So, and he doesn't seem as certain as you as what he wants to do with that shooting guard position. But I mean, yeah, you know, ultimately I do like Gary Harris, but I think Will Barton isn't okay. He's not a great basketball player, but I think he's okay.
If you looked at your favorite team's roster and you said, how many NBA, like legitimate NBA players do we have on our team? Like exactly what you just did with Milwaukee.
Yeah.
You wouldn't list Will Barton in that.
Oh, group. Really? Oh, come on. Are you going to compare like Will Barton to like Johnny O'Brien or like Chris Copeland?
Yep. He's in that same group.
Oh, come on. Oh, man. Now, dude, now we're
here,
definitely.
Here we go. Hit now no halftime.
And we're definitely doing. I was going to say, dude, we're doing no halftime with and I'm taking Will Barton.
And I've got Clint Capella. You do that?
No, that's all right. If Gary Harris is out,
okay.
That man, that's tough. Even I don't like Will Barton that much. All right, I have to think about that one.
You've been throwing a shade at Clint Capella, and you've been
all right. Talking all right, about I think we should definitely do a Clint Capella one, but I'm not sure if Will Barton is the right matchup for him. Let me stew on that one as we do a couple more box scores.
All right. Well, and let me just take a little break here to give a plug for our friends at No Halftime, just so everybody knows what we're talking about. No Halftime is an app and which kindly sponsors this podcast, and we love them for that. It's an app that you can download on your iPhone or your iPad, and it's basically a little bit like Daily Fantasy Sports. Except for instead of having eight guys in your lineup, you're just going to have one guy. So that's why Daniel and I were talking about. I can do my Clint Capella versus his Will Barton. There aren't any salaries to worry about. All you have to do is talk your buddy, just like I'm doing here. You got to talk your buddy into the matchup and that you like. Or you can do a public matchup where you propose a matchup and then anybody can go on there and accept or reject it. Honestly, if you've done that, Daniel, it's a little bit like I'm married, so I wouldn't know what this is like. But what I hear Tinder is like, you swipe left if you like it, or swipe right if you don't like it, or whichever way.
I'm on Tinder right now, man.
You're on Tinder during the show.
Absolutely. Well,
I don't want to say No Halftime is like the Tinder of fantasy sports, but it kind of is, right? Like you like a matchup, you click on it, you accept it. It's as simple as that. If you don't like it, you swipe it away.
You are really going on this like romantic, like comparing NBA to romantic rendezvous on this episode. But yeah, I there's definitely a Tinder-esque feel.
Yeah.
To No Halftime. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. So, or you can work out your matchups in, you know, with your friends, and then you can accept them that way. You can just email them. Super easy. You can do it for NFL or almost any other sport that's in play right now. And the best part is use our promo code from our podcast and you get a free $25, which is pretty great. So use the promo code BBALL, that's BBALL at sign up, and you get you $25. You can challenge Daniel or myself. Daniel will accept any Will Barton no halftime challenge. So if you want to play like Chris Paul versus Will Barton, he'll accept it. Isn't that right, Daniel?
I'm not agreeing to that. if you guys, you know, have one you think is comparable, tweet me or Mark, and we'll definitely take you up on it. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. It really is.
Yeah, it is fun. I think that's my favorite part about it. DFS is great, and I think you can make money at it, and I think you can get really into it. I think if you want to just like have a good time and like make your night funner in 2 minutes, I think this is probably the way to go. Otherwise, sharks like Daniel are going to eat you alive at the DFS table.
I mean, I'm eating Mark alive in this No Halftime app anyway. Because I mean, like, honestly,
have I won a challenge against you?
You actually did. You won one when I picked.
Evan Turner?
I think you had Evan Turner and I had D'Angelo Russell, and you barely won. And the only reason you won is because Golden State, you know, won by, you know, 50 against the Lakers. So, you know, but D'Angelo Russell played like 22 minutes.
That went into my analysis.
Yeah.
Well, I have good feelings about this Clint Capella versus Will Barton challenge that we're definitely going to do.
And Lee Kessler, Golden State 101, Utah 99, 1:30 to go for you viewers who are listening to the podcast.
There is nobody that's listening to this that will care about that update.
You have to tell them that. No one. I mean, You know, who knows? Anyway.
All right, let's do a quick couple quick hitter box scores, and then we'll get into some DFS. We don't want to run this too long.
All right.
OKC in Atlanta, Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant did Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant things. They are good at basketball. I don't think we need any more analysis there. Enes Kanter continues to play 15 minutes. I mean, what a job that guy has, right? Like he gets paid the max salary and he plays 15 minutes against bench guys.
I mean, him and Goran Dragic should just the same way that Jason Kidd and Scott Skiles have a conference call. Like, I think, you know, Kanter and Dragic should have a conference call every night, just giggling and laughing.
Just about how they can light money on fire.
Yeah, they're basically stealing money. Yeah.
On the Atlanta side, I mean, Paul Millsap had a great game.
He played fantastic. I was watching this game.
But again, he's Paul Millsap. You expect those type of things. I don't see anything sort of out of the usual in these two games. So it's sort of like guys you want to drop or guys you want to add. Do you see anything along those lines?
No, I mean, not really. I mean, the only thing – a guy who actually does intrigue me, and it's just because DFS, I've been playing him lately. And
yeah.
Stefan Losa's got a skill set. Like, he doesn't score, obviously, that well. But you saw, like, four steals tonight. Like, if – because, I mean, like, obviously, like, Atlanta starts him only on, like, a matchup per base, you know, matchup basis right now. Tonight he guarded Durant. Otherwise, sometimes they go Bazemore. Like, Cephalosha got 39 minutes tonight. Like, he's an intriguing player for me. If he would get, like, 30 minutes consistently, if I needed a category, you know, like steals or something like that, you know, he's a guy, you know, that I don't hate, quite honestly.
No, I totally agree. It's fine to add, particularly if you need steals. We talk about four steals is equivalent to what, like, and six assists. He had 0 points, which totally, you know, sucks. But
it's because I mean, he was just trying to blanket Durant. I mean, they weren't going to him offensively, like, at all.
He is getting minutes.
He is. I mean, he
played 24 minutes previous game and 30 minutes, 20 minutes. I definitely think. I guess that was before. If you need what he offers, I think you totally standard league.
Yeah, totally agree.
And then we'll no halftime, but
you're totally like cutting in and out. So I'm not.
Oh, what I was saying is I would rather have.
Yeah, I could barely hear you. I don't know. This is a horrible sign. What's happening?
Hey, are you still there? I can hear you just fine. Can you?
Yeah, I can hear like every like fifth word you're saying.
That's weird. That must be through Clear.
What's that?
Problems with Daniel here. It sounds like it's Daniel. We'll try to get him back. We go over to San Antonio. Box. What was the type? San Antonio. Nergo. Try to look score. Kawhi Leonard had Danny Green continue not be great. He had 9 points, 1 assist, 2 steals, 1 block in 33 minutes. I guess I'm not ready to draft the value he gives you is like the two steals and the 1 block that he got you. He's kind of blocked 4 steals in the last 40. Three points, double digits. There's no drop a depth. Good game of rebounds. If you can sell on him, the Bulls, Butler, he played 40 minutes tonight, so he had 14 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks and a steal, so not necessarily the production we were hoping for, but going against Kawhi Leonard, I think I'm not worried about him going forward. Pau Gasol had a very good game. In 30 minutes, he had 18 points, 13 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 blocks, and a steal. got some news on Mike Dunleavy that he's basically shutting it down for a couple of weeks. So we continue to look for Doug McDermott and Tony Snell to get playing time. Snell started but only played 23 minutes. McDermott got the majority of the small forward minutes. He had 30 minutes. He scored 12 points and grabbed 3 rebounds. I'm trying to see. Let me see. But, you know, last game he only played 6 minutes, so I'm not sure that's somebody that you can go ahead and pick up. I think you're just maybe a DFS play if you feel like the matchup's right, but I'm not using a waiver wire claim on him quite yet. All right. Moving on to the looks like we're at the Golden State Utah box score. I'm gonna try to see if we can get Daniel back here, because that game is not quite wrapped. But looking quickly at the box score, what we know so far, Rudy Gobert had a solid game. He had 13 points, 11 rebounds, a steal, and a block.
Mark, are you there?
Daniel, are you back?
Oh, dude, what happened?
I've been floundering without you.
I mean, honestly, that may have been like the saddest 4 or 5 moments of my life. I thought I lost you.
I had to talk about San Antonio and Chicago all by myself.
You make it? You okay?
I blacked out for a little while. I blacked out for a while, but we'll see. See how it came out on the other side.
Man, I'm not gonna lie. I can already feel it. I don't want any of you guys tweeting me that you know, just because I was trying to watch the end of that Golden State game. I did that on purpose. That is not the case.
I need you to shut down Tinder for at least the end of the podcast. We need the bandwidth.
All right, Tinder is Tinder's off.
Close Tinder. We'll get all right. Looking at Golden State, Utah. I know it hasn't finished. We've only got a minute left. Tim, you know what? We'll save that for another time. Let's talk about some DFS.
All right. So you are like you're still cutting in and out. So I'm not sure. Can you hear me fine? So
I can hear you just fine. Why don't you give us your DFS plays and then you can log off?
Wow, man. Mark is getting very very surly now with the. all right, let me I'm all flustered, man, with our technology. Remember how, I'm to blame, cuz remember how I was saying how we have it so easy with technology nowadays, and now look what's happening. See, we should go back to like the using newspapers and stuff. All right, in terms of DFS tomorrow, hopefully Mark is still there and can hear me, cuz I can't hear him at all. So tomorrow's interesting. We got a six game slate, and it's pretty fascinating cuz normally there's at least one or two games you can throw out the window because the spread's high or the over-under's really low. It's actually 6 like quality games tomorrow. The one game.
Wait. Are you calling Los Angeles and Philadelphia a quality game?
Oh, I am calling this the game of all games. I'm telling you, if there's like I'm not gonna lie. And since I feel that me and you have bonded, since we're doing the show, we talk offline. I actually do have a legitimate Tinder day tomorrow. And like I'm being dead serious with you. That's why it's kind of funny you're bringing up the Tinder thing. So I am so pissed that I have this Tinder date, Mark, because all I want to do is stay home and watch Lakers Philly. Like, you got to help me try to find a way to get out of this Tinder date, because this game is going to be phenomenal. Now for DFS purposes,
supposed to drive to Philly.
What's that?
Can't you drive her to Philly?
Actually, I don't have a car because I live in New York City, but I take a train, man. The train's only like an hour and a half train ride to Philly.
That's like 2 dates worth.
That is. I mean, but I would, like, as soon as Kobe issued his retirement, though, prices rose, right? So if I have a bad night in DFS tonight, I may have no money left from take her out for that. Right. So the Lakers Philly game. I mean, we could just spend we should have a whole podcast just devoted to that game. So in terms of DFS,
I do want to talk about it here for a second. So yeah. Let me introduce our last sponsor, BetDSI, which is an online source and most importantly on ease and speed of payments. They're one of the most respected online sports books out there. They have a book review and they offer a wide range of sports, including NFL, international sports like soccer, rugby, politics, And fortunately for us, the NBA. Now, the line for the Lakers-Philadelphia game tomorrow is 1.5. Lakers are favored by 1.5. What's your take on that? If you were putting down some of your bet DSI money, who would you bet on?
I mean, this is really tough. And I think me and you were talking, you know, offline. And I'm not even being that facetious when I say this. Like, if the Lakers didn't have Kobe, I would bet all my money on the Lakers. The fact that they have Kobe, who I think really is the worst player. You're talking about Will Barton. At this point, like, Kobe is the worst player in the NBA. Like, he has just nothing left in the tank. It's just, I mean, I think, what was he, 4-for-20 yesterday? I mean, it's just really brutal to watch him play.
I don't disagree.
But, I mean, the Lakers do have legitimate NBA talent. Like, Clarkson is a legitimate player. You know, then they have, you know, I think Russell's going to be. They have Randall who can play. So they have some talent. Philly, I mean, God, they've been so close, like 4 or 5 straight games, though. But look, if I had to bet, I would bet it on the Lakers. I really would. I mean, yeah. What about you?
You're giving me the points and Philadelphia?
It's only 1.5, but yeah. I'm giving you the point and a half. I think, look, it's Kobe's hometown.
Philly should definitely be fair. Philly's at home. Philly's played tough like the last 5 games and have barely lost. And I just think Philly's a better team. I'm giving up points and taking Byron Scott.
All right, let me tell you this. All right, let's say if Philly has no Nerlens Noel tomorrow, you still like Philly? And they still have Brett Brown. Who do they have?
They still have Brett Brown on the bench. Yeah, going against Byron Scott.
I'm telling you, I'm gonna be rooting for Philly, but I just think I think the Lakers, and they still have, you know, talent off the bench or at least legitimate NBA guys off the bench. I mean, Philly is just, I'll be rooting for Philly, but I would take the points and I take the Lakers.
Oh man, I would definitely take Philadelphia.
I wish we could do a no halftime on that. So
that would be fun. Well, the best part is, Daniel, if you want to, you can go to BetDSI, use the often HOOPS10, and you can get $10. And you can go, if you're smart, you'll put it on the Sixers. If you want to follow Daniel's advice, you can put it on the Lakers. Either way, you can have some fun watching the game and win some money.
Yeah, I mean, I think more importantly for that game, though, you know, I don't even know if you have to bet in it. Just enjoy the awfulness. Just enjoy the pure awfulness of two of the worst teams, you know, that you could ever see in NBA basketball.
I don't see why you couldn't sit through that game with your Tinder date. Like, if she stays through the whole game, then you know, like, you can log off Tinder because you found the right match.
I mean, we can do, you know, tons of shows just on how hard dating is, because I hide all the stuff. Like, I can't tell someone I spent 8 hours a day like doing DFS, and like, you know, it would never. So it's like, you know, I hide that whole second life that I lead. You know,
what date, how many dates do you go on with a girl before you admit that you spend most of your life playing daily fantasy sports?
It has to be at least, like, I won't even bring up probably like DFS or anything like that until date 3. If you make it to date 5, then she's probably going to be like, hey, you know, I noticed, you know, you're never available from, you know, like, you know, basically ever. And you're, you know, like, you know, and you're, you seem to be, you know, keep checking scores on your phone and hiding and going off to the bathroom and sending all these weird tweets and using this lingo that I don't understand. And so, yeah. So, I mean, the date 5 is when basically that she kind of figures out, wow, this guy, he's really, you know, kind of has a second whole life here. But yeah, enough about my Tinder dating, Mark. Thanks for bringing that up.
We'll get into it in the report by the way. we're running short on time here.
Yeah.
Do you want to guess 2 DFS plays for Tuesday night?
All right. So you're cutting in and out again. So I think you said name a couple plays. So I'm just going to, I'll give you a couple. Like, look, the first game is Washington, Cleveland. Like John Wall. He's a guy, like, say I said Reggie Jackson, don't play him. But really, like when you say that, that means he's going to, like, you're talking about a guy who's supremely, I guess Reggie Jackson isn't supremely talented, but John Wall is a supreme talent who has just been He has not been hitting value. You know, this is going to be a 202.5 over-under. I want me some John Wall exposure. Look, it's a big game against Cleveland. He hasn't played well. Ownership's going to be low. I want me some John Wall in GPPs tomorrow. The game that I'm probably going to be targeting the most, you know, Phoenix-Brooklyn. I'm telling you, Thad Young, he's a consistency monster. He's been under the radar, really. I mean, he's just lock and load 30 fantasy points, you know, on any site you play. He might be Brooklyn's best player, at least definitely their most in terms of like either all-around player for sure. So I like him. You know, I like Brook Lopez tomorrow, his matchup against Phoenix. And, I mean, I don't know who Phoenix is going to be trotting out at center. I think Tyson Chandler is still banged up, so they might go with Alex Len still. I like Brook Lopez tomorrow. 206 over-under for Brooklyn, you know. So I like that. And then let's see. Give you one more play. Let's go to Orlando and Minnesota, Mark. What do we do with Orlando? I'm going to tell you what we do. We basically don't play them at all. They scare the hell out of me in DFS. But all their prices have dropped a lot. So, I mean, I'm surprised that the over-under is even above 200 here because Minnesota is really good defensively. But a guy who I'm playing right now in GPPs and probably not the greatest matchup tomorrow, but I'm still going to play him a little bit, is Vucevic. His price has come down to about 6.6K. I haven't checked what it is for tomorrow. If it's around that 6.5K mark, he's worth a shot in some GPPs. I'm telling you, like, it's hard playing these you know, Scott Skiles guys. You can't use them for cash games, but I mean, if you want to throw them in some GPPs right now, you know, again, the prices are all dropping. The same with Tobias Harris. So if you want to use those guys a little bit, you know, you can win some money.
All right, Daniel, you're kind of catting out on us, but I think we got most of what you thanks for the advice. Tell us one more time where we can find you if we want to get more Daniel Green in our lives.
Okay, if you want more of me in your life, you can go to dgcourtroomdfs.com. It's my website, you know, and it's, again, a lot of pretty cool content, stuff up there, stuff DFS-related content that the rest of the industry does not have. So again, we're trying to have a lot of fun and not make DFS so serious. But with that, still giving you really substantive, really good content. And then you can find me, you know, on Twitter always at Daniel A. Green 1. And you can find me on Tinder at – no, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Go check out Tinder. All right. Sorry for the technical issues tonight, guys, but hopefully you enjoyed the show. If you did, please remember to rate and review the podcast on iTunes or on Stitcher. Please subscribe. Hope you have a good basketball day, and we'll look forward to talking with you tomorrow night. Until then, I hope everything goes your way. See you guys. Bye.